part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of the Reg Iron Rota Podcast, powered by Cleveland Party Rentals and Newark Auto Body. And happy to be here on the Press Play Podcast Network. And as always, before we get things started, we got to give a shout out to our fantabulous producer, Ty Courts, who makes sure all of you, and I mean all of you, and we appreciate all of you out there in the podcastosphere, you get this courtesy of Ty Courts. And Michael Regai, here we are, Cavaliers still playing, down 2-1 in the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Boston Celtics after losing game 3 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, 106-93. Cavs went into Boston and split, but they come home with home court advantage. Now they're without home court advantage. Your thoughts on what you've seen through 3 games so far, Reg?
First thought, Kenny, before we get rolling, a wonderful, happy Mom's Day to all of the phenomenal moms out there. None of us, male, female, none of us would be anywhere close to who we are, what we are, without that guiding force in our lives, right, Kenny? You and I have lost our moms, and it's, you know, I know you think about her every day, and not just on Mother's Day, but so a big salute to all you moms. Keep doing all the amazing things you do for your children and your families.
Reg, amen to that. As we're taping this and we're Zoom recording this, my computer, right above my computer, I got a picture of my mom and my dad. So every Beautiful. Day when I'm looking at my computer, I look up and there's mom and dad looking down on me. And happy Mother's Day. I parrot the words that you just laid out there for everyone. And thanks to all the moms out there.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Pictures of mom and dad are every day in my life too. And talk to them a lot. And I'm not, I'm not afraid to admit that. Talk to them a lot, Kenny. So,
and yeah. Reg, I loved you telling the stories about your mom when we were doing the afternoon R&R, right?
Mm-hmm,
and how your mom wasn't real happy with a couple of things that you would say. Yeah. Before we get into the Cavs, we'll get into the Cavs, but your mom scolding you for some of the things you would say on the radio.
Always. Always. If I, dropped in her mind, a few too many four-letter words, Kenny, she let me have it for that. And I would just, okay, Mom, I'll try to do better. So we miss them. You know, we love them. And for those of you that, you know, are blessed to still have your mother, cherish everything she does for you, because it's no greater love, right, Kenny? No greater love than a mother's love for her children.
Amen. Amen to that, Reg.
All right. Okay, so we've got the moms all taken care of. And yeah, Ken, on Saturday night, I think for the Cavaliers to have any realistic shot, they needed to get that one last night and get up 2-1. They didn't. Obviously, you know, game four, just a flat out, no other way to say it, must win if they're going to be able to take this series, Kenny. I think beyond, if they don't win tomorrow, probably going to end on, is it Wednesday night in Boston, or is it Wednesday is the next one?
Let's see, Monday. Yeah, Wednesday would be game number 5.
So again, you know, we were pleased with some of the good things that happened in game 2, but Kenny, last night, and I know a couple people on the Twitter got I think a little upset with me because thought I was picking on Max Strus and Isaac Okoro. But Kenny, you know, I'll put this out there for you. I went through it on the Twitter, and I wanted to bring it up on the show too. You know, they combined for 37 minutes last night, Kenny, and between them scored 6 points. 6 points. You know, 2 of 8. Strus is 2 of 8 from the floor. Okoro was 1 of 7. 0 for 4 for Okoro, I think 0 for 3 for Strus on threes. I just, Kenny, you tell me, I mean, how do you win an NBA playoff game if this is what's going on? And again, these are two of the starters that you run up on the floor. And it's just offensively at times, I mean, they're inept. And if you want to give Boston all kinds of credit for being a great defensive team, to me, Boston is an offensive team, first and foremost. So again, they're gonna need more from those two guys if they're gonna win another game. Probably need a little bit more from Darius Garland too. Yeah. Good to see Dean Wade get 17 minutes last night. Hopefully that can build. I didn't hear today, did you, that there were any setbacks or any problems with him getting back on the floor for the first time? And, for the last two basketball games, I mean, Caris LeVert's gave him 21 points in the game to win, 15 points last night. So, but you got to have, you're going to have more. And to me, it's from the starters, Strus and Okoro.
I'm with you on that, Reg. And you and I have had our conversations about Caris, and his inconsistency bothers me. But you look at, they were down 23 in the third quarter yesterday. All right. Boston comes out of the locker room, goes on a 14-0 run. They're up 23. At that point, I went back and looked at it.
And Ken, excuse me to interrupt you, but just like the first quarter, Ken, that's against the starting five that includes Strus and Okoro. So only, not you. I don't mean you, but don't try to include Caris LeVert or Dean Wade first game back or anybody off the bench, because that was all against the Cavaliers starting five.
The 14-0 run, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting
that
five
was,
before Bickerstaff got them out and got LeVert and Wade on the floor.
Now, LeVert did play 12 minutes in the first half and didn't make a basket. Mm-hmm. He was 0 for 4, 0 points. Right. And so up to that point, down 23, Strus, LeVert, Okoro were combined 2 for 17 shooting for 5 points. Okay? And that can't happen against the Celtics. So, and we've talked about this, I'm not a huge LeVert guy, but Strus, LeVert, Strus, LeVert, or Okoro at this point, Michael, I'm starting LeVert or Dean Wade.
You have to
at that three in game number four if Jared Allen isn't available. Okoro is a bench player for sure. He was drafted way too high. We've been through this conversation many times. Why is he so wide open to shoot threes? They leave him wide open because they know he can't make them consistently. So move him to where he belongs, coming off the bench. Max Strus, I said it when they made the move, overpaid, inconsistent, and he was 1 for 6 up until that point, like you said, as one of the starters for 3 points. He's probably going to stay in the starting lineup at least for this year. Beyond this year, we'll have to wait and see. So if Jared Allen cannot go in game four, then I'm giving the starting spot to either 6'8 Dwayne Wade or 6'6 Caris LeVert, and taking my chances with one of those two guys in the starting rotation to see if I can get Caris LeVert off quicker. Because as I said, didn't have a point at halftime, scored 15 in the second half, some of them during garbage time, but still had double digits, right? So let's see if you start him, if maybe that jump starts him and gets him going quicker and helps the Cavaliers. And that way you can bring LeVert off the bench, or excuse me, Okoro off the bench where he belongs.
Yep, exactly. And very well said. And at this point, you almost have to. And if it's me, as long as, if Dean Wade feels like he can play, and I played 17 minutes the other night, but I don't know if they can get him 24, 25 minutes, start him too.
Okay.
Start him
all
too.
All right.
Because, now, Kenny, tell me, right now, I mean, to me, when everybody's healthy, and Dean Wade's just getting back. I get that. But to me, the best offensive fivesome for the Cavaliers that you can, and that's what we're talking about right now.
Okay.
And again, I'm not worried about who's a little small, who's a little, but, you know, right. The two backcourt guys, Mitchell and Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and Caris LeVert. That's who I'm starting. When you need offense, Kenny, I believe that's the five guys you got to start. Desperate times, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They need offense. These are your – well, look, the numbers say those are your five best, right? I mean, so – and I believe that's what you got to do at this point. And then maybe if you somehow can get a lead, then maybe you start mixing and matching a little bit, sure. But to me, that's the offensive fivesome that's going to get your best opportunity to – there's no guarantees, Ken, but hopefully get them off to a good start, get a lead, and see where that takes you.
Yeah, I'm with you at this point. You've got to try something. I had somebody tweet at me, the disappointment of the three people that they signed this past offseason. Max Strus shooting 30% in the playoffs, 17 of 56, Michael, right? And that's what now, 10 games in, and he's getting a lot of minutes, right?
Max Strus, big time minutes.
17 of 56.
I wouldn't play him that many minutes.
Neither would I. George Niang is seated where he should be seated at the end of the bench, as he's 2 of 18 for 11% from beyond the arc in these playoffs. And LeVert, 5 of 25, 20% from three-point range, but at least he can create something going to the basket, whereas Niang and, Strus cannot. Right. If Strus isn't left wide open with nobody, in his area code or zip code, he ain't making the three-point shot. And why do you think Spoelstra and old man Riley decided, let's trade him. We know what we have, what we don't want to keep. Let's get rid of him. And the Cavaliers gave him $16 million a year. So that's not looking like a good signing. Niang has been a major disappointment in these postseason games where you thought you could at least go to the G-Wagon or the dump truck. I don't know what his nickname is because he's taking a dump when he steps on the floor, and he ain't doing a doodly squat, as AC would like to say. So they've got to try something different against this Boston team that runs out two of the best wing players in the NBA offensively.
And that exacerbates the problem, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, it does.
Because, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, my goodness. Jaylen Brown last night, Kenny, I think he's a little bit, I think he's shade, maybe not in Boston, but I think when, Celtics come up, it's Jason Tatum first. Man, I tell you what, Jaylen Brown, last night, Kenny, 13 of 17 from the floor.
Yeah.
28 points, 9 boards, 3 assists. Any Cavalier they put on him, he abused all of them. And Tatum took a lot of shots last night to get his 33 points. But, I mean, look at those two guys last night, Ken, combining for 61.
Yep.
Now you can give them the ball and clear out and they're going to get the job done. And that's the thing with the Cavaliers. They do. I hope they address it because, they need more offense. They just do. And you can say, okay, but it wasn't as big of a problem when Jared Allen's on the floor. Well, of course. Okay, I'll give you that because of what Allen does in the paint. But I think this team needs a little more shooting because, Kenny, we know Darius Garland, I think you'd agree, up and down. I mean, they're nights offensively. He's very good, and there are other nights when the shot's not going, and you compound that with the nights when you get the bad handle and the turnover situation, and now you got real issues.
Reg, he has regressed since he became an All-Star. He has gone in the opposite direction, whether it's not meshing with Donovan Mitchell, whether it's the injuries, whether it's being gun-shy because of the injuries, whether it's other players in the Eastern Conference at his position are just simply better, Tyrese Halliburton, comes to mind, yeah, right? With the Indiana Pacers, who even their series with the Knicks today in blowout fashion, right? Mm-hmm. He's regressed. So he has to be better. And the other thing too, Michael, as I look, Donovan Mitchell has proven to be a superstar in this league, right? The problem is, I think what Boston's saying is, Donovan, go ahead, get 50. We'll just defend everybody else because they can't score. Yeah. They can't consistently put the ball in the hoop, whether it's driving to the basket or shooting from three-point range. The only guy that's doing any damage, and he twisted his ankle again yesterday, and so we'll have to see how that affects him in game number four, is Evan Mobley, who finished with 17-8. And then I saw Chris Fedor post before we started taping this R&R podcast tonight that Donovan Mitchell now is listed on the injury report as questionable with a calf injury tomorrow night. So if he can't go, Ray Guy, then for all of you out there who like to wager, since it's legal now at Bushwood and the Buckeye State, if Mitchell can't play, bet the farm on the Boston Celtics tomorrow on the money line, winning game number four if Mitchell can't go, because then I don't know if anybody gets into double digits if Donovan Mitchell can't play, because he had 33 and kept them in the game for a while. And when they made that comeback, he was a part of it as well. But I think he just ran out of gas, or he got hurt, and that affected his play down the stretch as well.
No, don't even want to think about that. Cavaliers going into a playoff game down 2-1 in a series against the best team in the NBA and without Donovan Mitchell. So let's hope he finds a way, that he's able to go tomorrow night and at least somewhere near what his normal playing capacity is, right? Normal full strength, especially offensively, because – I mean, he's got the ball a hell of a lot, and he exerts a lot of energy on the offensive end of the floor. So we'll see what that brings. I just like to see the Cavaliers, and again, they're going to need to win tomorrow night, as we said, to do it. But I'd like to see them get it to six games anyway, win or lose tomorrow night. I still, though, would certainly expect Boston to take care of their business at the TD Garden in game five. But that's why this one is so important tomorrow night. If the Cavaliers can show, that they're not going to just go away quietly, and hopefully, once again, I thought the crowd was terrific last night, don't you think?
I was there, Rich. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? They were in it from start till about the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, when it was obvious that the Celtics came out with more physicality. And the Cavs, there were two stretches, Reg. Let me pull it up on my phone. I marked it yesterday when I was at the arena, right? And there were two stretches, one in the first half, one in the second half, that really stood out to me. And I marked this down. Cavaliers miss two layups, and the Celtics make two layups to take a 51-42 lead with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. Could have been 47-46. So instead of down one, Reg, right?
Yep.
They are down nine, and that was with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. And then I wrote down Cavs down nine at half. Celtics go on 14-0 run to start the third quarter. A 10-point game with 6 minutes to go, and Donovan Mitchell and Caris LeVert miss layups at one end. Jaylen Brown, Derek White make layups at the other end, leading to a 98-84 lead for Boston with 5:41 left. Turn out the lights. The party's over. So there were four layups the Cavs missed and the Celtics made. And each one of them was a 4-point swing. If you multiply that by four, that's a 16-point swing right there, Reg, right? So there were shots that were there to be made by the Cavaliers at the rim. They failed, and Boston did not fail like they did in game two. And those were the two areas of the game that really stood out to me, like, damn. If they make three of those four layups, then we're talking about a completely different game. Mm-hmm. But give credit to Boston. They contended a couple of those layups. They made theirs in traffic at the other end, and they go up 2-1.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, this is why they had the overall best record in the NBA this year. They're a complete basketball team.
Yeah.
They play both ends of the floor. And that starts especially with, I think Jaylen Brown's a damn good defender. And for a guy that, you think of Jaylen, he's offensively proficient, but he defends well. He defends hard too. Tatum is a decent defender also. And Kenny, you know how that is. I mean, when you've got your best, your main guys that are willing to put in the work and do the grind at the defensive end of the floor, that is what can make a team special.
Yep.
And the Cavaliers, nothing is easy. Yes, they've got to the hoop and got around the rim, but Boston is going to contend and challenge shots, and 88-year-old Al Horford, he's doing the same thing in there. He's at least, I know the Boston folks were a little bit upset with him, thinking that, he didn't play particularly well. But, I mean, he will again, challenge shots. And he's 6'11".
Yeah, I will say this, though. When Donovan Mitchell saw that they switched him on him, I think Mitchell was 4-4 from three-point range. Horford had no chance, and that was one of the times where Mitch thought he had the advantage because of the older, slower Horford. But to your point with Tatum, when Tatum was on Mitchell, his length and athleticism made it tough on him, and that's why I think they were Mitch was trying to get the switch to get Horford on him because he knew he could win that battle, right?
Yeah,
and so to your point, Tatum may be a little bit underrated defense. And remember, yes, Cavs are doing this without Jared Allen, but Boston's doing it without Kristaps Porzingis too.
That's right. Yeah,
and
I was
so
just gonna mention
that evens things.
What do you
out.
Think about Allen tomorrow night? Since you were down I don't know if you real quick. I don't know if you taped the game and then watched it.
I have.
They
not.
Must have taken. I don't know. I swear they showed him 20 different times sitting on the bench last night and, had kind of a dour look on his face, throughout the whole game, not much of an expression. I'm sure it's bothering him that he can't be out there. But, Ken, this is six consecutive playoff games, and what kind of rib injury? What the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't have any inside information, direct inside information, right? I have heard through a couple of grapevines, one reliable, one not real reliable, that dude can't even raise his hands above his head. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get a rebound, let alone shoot, that's not happening. And he would be exposed. Somebody hits those ribs and forget about it. And, the breathing is an issue. So you hope that those ribs, didn't crack with the potential of puncturing a lung. Go back to, remember, Drew Bledsoe, how did Tom Brady get his start when he got double teamed and knocked out of bounds by the Jets? So I'm not expecting him to play at all. If he does, I think it is a major boost. I don't know what he could give the Cavaliers, but my expectations for games 4, 5, 6, and 7 are that Jared Allen aren't going to play.
Yeah.
Or Jared, I should say, proper English, my bad, all you. Jared Allen is not going to play. And Dean Wade is already back, so that's the only boost I think they're getting from their injured players.
The statement I made, but not meant to be accusatory
at
all.
No, I understand.
I was just getting you, having been there, getting your feeling and thought on it, of course, and I know, again, because when it gets up to six games and you don't – and playoff games, I might add.
Right.
It'd be a little different if this were January, right? I mean,
sure.
Get well. Get to a point where you feel like you're ready to go. But now here in May, Kenny, and the season's on the line against a team that is better than you to begin with. It's got to be all hands on deck to be sure. So, Jared Allen had a hell of a year.
It was a hell of a playoff run too, Reg.
Yes.
That's why, along with the injury, he has that discouraged look on his face.
Yeah.
He was going 17 and 13 and 2, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks every night. Was the most consistent player through the first 4 games against the Magic for the Cavaliers, more so than Donovan Mitchell.
That's right.
And that's got to be bothering him. And the other thing I'll throw in to why I don't think Reg, I'm there early, right? Yeah, we're going to do the Kenny and JT show before game four. So I'll be there at 3 o'clock tomorrow at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll see when everybody comes out to warm up, maybe even get some early work in, right? I haven't seen him pregame at all, any of the games.
And as you and I know, that's telltale.
Yeah.
Telltale. If a guy is looking to come back from an injury, he's out early.
Yeah.
And going to put in the extra work.
Like Dean Wade did before game number three.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, it's obviously the injury is severe and serious enough. It's not allowing him to go. Right. And again, though, if that having been said, of course, it is a huge loss for the Cavaliers. And again, I am not suggesting that if Jared Allen were healthy, the Cavaliers would win a seven-game series with Boston. We don't know that. We're not going to know that. I'm still thinking they wouldn't, but I know Jared Allen would give them a boost, though, in the way they play, how they play, and some of the things they'd be able to do to kind of maybe limit Boston in some areas of their game, which you just don't have with Allen out.
I'll say this. Allen's loss is bigger to the Cavaliers than Porzingis' loss is to the Celtics. Because the Celtics have two all-star / superstar players. The Cavaliers have one. So, we'll see. Prove me wrong. First of all, get healthy, most importantly for Jared Allen. But, hey, I hope to see him back and prove me wrong. But, again, I'm not holding my breath on that, Reg. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's do this. Let's get a break in here on the R&R Podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. And when we come back, not only will we take a look at game four between the Cavs and the Celtics, we'll peek in on all the other series throughout the NBA playoffs, see how those are going, and give you our thoughts.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of The Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the dog.com coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say offseason, Tyvus, but is there really ever an offseason for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. I always want to tell you about our good friends at Cleveland Party Rentals. They're your go-to for memorable events and parties. Now, their approach is very simple. As I've been telling you, they treat your event as exactly as if it were their very own. So they're going to help you alleviate all the stress of the event coordination that you so often get. This way, you see, you can savor the moments that matter. They're dedicated to offering you pricing that's clear and completely free from hidden fees, and that's coupled with one of the most robust cancellation policies in the industry in case maybe you get a change in plans, right? That happens once in a while. They have a tailgate package I want to tell you about. You can lock in your games for the season or even put your Super Bowl party together in the summer so you're ready to go in February. Here's what you get. High-quality outdoor screen and projector with immersive sound, double bowl frozen a drink machine, a popcorn machine, two-tap beer jockey box. You get a front-row seat. Everybody gets that. It allows you to unleash the ultimate entertainment experience. That game day bundle I just told you about, I know you heard me. It's a complete package that transforms your backyard into a cinematic and gaming paradise. Here's the best part. Ready for this now? Get ready to write this down. Listeners, all of our Reg and Rota podcast listeners, use code CLEPARTIESROCK. I'll spell that for you. CLEPARTIESROCK for 10% off your booking. Do it now at Cleveland Party Rentals.
Hey, everybody, it's Sam Amico from Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Be sure to give us a listen for all your Cleveland Cavaliers recaps, analysis, breakdowns, draft talk, free agency. The list goes on and on. Give us a listen. Cavs on the Break NBA podcast.
Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hey, gang, the Roadman Kenny Rhoda here from the R&R Podcast. If you've been in an accident, first of all, I hope you're okay. Secondly, if you are and your car's not, then guess what? You need to look no further than Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Why? They're safe. They're reliable. Their collision repairs are what they do best. It's their business. They are located in Newark and in Zanesville, and they are a local family-run and veteran-owned business serving those areas, Newark, Zanesville, and the surrounding areas. And how about this? They work with all the insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. You're already down in the dumps because your car is dinged up, right? You don't need a hassle from the insurance company. That's the other great thing about them. Plus, you can ask about their special discounts for U.S. military veterans. You want to check them out online? Here's where you go. Autobodyofnewark.com or autobodyofzanesville.com. And to get your repair started today, instead of checking them out online, pick up the phone, do it the old-fashioned way. Call 740-899-4111 and tell them Reg I and Rhoda sent you. And welcome back to the Reg I and Rhoda podcast here on the Press Play Podcast Network, powered by Cleveland Party Rentals and Newark Auto Body. Shout out to both of those sponsors. Thanks for being a part of our podcast. We appreciate that. And Michael, Reg I, game number 4 in Cleveland, 7 o'clock Monday night. You can listen to it, by the way, on WHBC. And we'll be broadcasting live from 3 until 6:30, the Kenny and JT show. So if you want to tune in there, I'll try and give you some inside info if I see a Jared Allen out on the floor or if Donovan Mitchell's not out on the floor warming up like he normally does with that calf injury. So, Michael, what has to happen here in game 4 for the Cavaliers to even this thing up at 2-2 going back to Boston?
First and foremost, Donovan Mitchell's going to have to be able to go with about at least 99% of his normal effectiveness, right? And we know what that is because, I mean, you know, look, please, we can all, you know, say hope and pull out the win one for Donovan stuff. Listen, if Mitchell can't go, it's going to be extremely difficult to try to beat the Boston Celtics. Would love to see Jared Allen, if he's capable and if he's healthy enough to do that. Of course, you'd like to see all hands on deck, but as you said, there's no Porzingis for Boston as well. So we'll see, Kenny. I'd like to say I think the Cavaliers will even the series tomorrow, but honestly, I like Boston to win tomorrow and go up 3-1 and then end it in game number 5. Unfortunately. Yeah. But I see that happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. Before the series started, I said 5, maybe 6, right?
Yes,
if the Celtics have two of
those. You said 5, I went 6.
Yeah, I thought maybe if the Celtics would have two brain fart games where they just think they could show up and roll out the basketballs and the Cavaliers get hot. Well, I think the Cavaliers had their one game, right? Where they shot efficiently from 3-point range and Boston was ice cold. And I think it was a wake-up call, and sometimes the Celtics, for whatever reason, Michael, right? They're 500 at home over the last 3 years in playoff games, but they go on the road, and they're a 75% or 80% win team on the road. So if Donovan Mitchell can't go, this thing's over, for sure in 5. If he can go tomorrow night, he's going to have to go for 40, and then at least one other Cavalier is going to have to score 20 or more points. if they're going to, you know, have a shot, whether that's Evan Mobley, whether Darius Garland doesn't wait till the second half to get started. If they insert Caris LeVert into the starting lineup, hopefully he can get going early instead of, you know, having to warm up and get going. So somebody else besides Donovan is going to have to get you 20 or more in game number four for the Cavaliers to have a chance, or this thing ends in five in Boston.
Well, like they did in game two with that win. They got multiple guys going offensively in the Garden, and they won, Cavaliers won convincingly. You know, again, can that happen again? And, of course, the Boston media just got all over the Celtics for, again, kind of taking their foot off the gas pedal, Kenny, at home. Yep. And as you – they – seem to do that every year. They lose a home game, and the Celtics media gets after them big time for it. But you know, they bounce back and were able to win game three on the road. So it's obviously, we've already said it, Cavaliers gotta win this tomorrow night to be able to extend the series. It'll if they do win tomorrow night, it's at least gonna go six,
right?
And who knows, maybe it'll wind up going seven. So let's hope we get the better part of the Cavaliers' A game tomorrow night, Ken. Is that going to be enough? We'll play it and see what goes on. But they're going to have to bring that no worse than A-minus game for them to beat Boston tomorrow night.
Game four, Monday night, 7 o'clock in Cleveland. Game five, Wednesday night for sure in Boston. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off. Game six, if necessary, back in Cleveland, and game seven, if necessary, in Boston on Sunday. So this thing goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, one day off in between, which does not help Donovan Mitchell's cause, you know, with the calf injury, Jared Allen's cause with the bruised ribs, or anybody else that's, more dinged up than normal, right?
Yep. And again, for me, you know, we expect, and we just discussed Donovan Mitchell's health situation, but, you know, if Donovan's out there, you know, you could count on him, I think, to give you a premium performance. But to me, tomorrow night, Kenny, Darius Garland's got to be strong. And Caris LeVert's got to, like he did, you know, last game two, 21 points off the bench. Play him in that, you know, and I think JP Bickerstaff too is, you know, especially if he's if he does have it going a little bit, you got to keep him on the floor. You know, he averages 27 minutes a game all year long. Can I think if he's got it, you got to play him 35 minutes in that vicinity. Take the minutes away from Strus and Okoro.
I'm okay with that at this point.
And hopefully Dean Wade can up his minutes too. I know he's just coming back. It might be a lot to ask. And I was told, you know, he's not in the very greatest, as you would expect, of basketball shape right now.
Right.
And they're trying to get him back at playoff time when he's extremely needed. 17 minutes the other night. I would love to see him be able to go 27, 28 minutes tomorrow, Kenny. Because that Boston's got to defend him.
Yeah.
Boston's got to defend him.
And he gives you defense at the other end.
He does.
The length of his, 6'8" frame.
That's right. If you notice, the games are different, but they also they've got to defend Caris LeVert too.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get and keep him out of the paint and going to the rim. So those two got to defend. They don't have to defend Okoro and Strus.
Exactly. Yeah. But I need good Vert, not bad Vert. I need good Vert from the beginning. I don't need 0-for-4 in 12 minutes in the first half and minus 10, giving up it on the defensive end as well. I'll deal with him getting beat at times on defense if he can consistently provide the offense. Okay, so I need good Vert from the get-go, not when the game's in hand and it's the second half. So I'm all for starting him or Dean Wade, or like you said, both of them. Sit Okoro and Strus and see how Boston reacts to that, right? Throw them a curveball that they're not expecting.
Because, again, like I said, you know, you may not think, well, what does that mean? You have, if you're Boston, they will have to defend LeVert and Wade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got to defend them.
Yep.
And they don't have to defend the other two. If you've been watching, they'll get Kenny. You and I, completely left unchecked as Isaac Okoro is, and to a little bit lesser degree, but not much of a lesser degree, yeah. Max Strus.
Yep.
Hell, I'll take my shot being firing up those threes, won't you?
Absolutely.
No hands in their face. They're giving them those threes.
We double dare you. Double dare you to shoot that, exactly. Isaac. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead.
That's jack exactly
that,
right.
Jack that and triple up. Until crack the backboard.
Yep. And until either one of them, both of them, show Boston that there can be shots made, and they'll have to hit multiple. It ain't going to be just one. Boston's going to keep this same tacked up defensively.
Yep.
And so that's the bottom line. And that's why I say I limit both their minutes tomorrow, Kenny. And
okay.
I start LeVert and Wade because you need offense tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Big time.
I'm with you either starting one of the two or both. I'm okay if JB were to go. I would not crucify JB if they were to start those two or one out of the two when they lose, because you have to try something different than what you saw in game three. Just real simple.
Start them or not, the minutes got to be upped for both of them.
Yeah.
And like I said, I understand the Dean Wade situation, maybe just getting back. I get that. But if he's cleared and he's capable,
yeah,
love to see him be up around 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I said, if he's cleared and capable to do it, get him on the floor. He can make a shot. Again, LeVert can go to the hole.
Right.
They got to defend him. So, I mean, to me, that will help Mitchell and Garland and Mobley as well.
All right, Reg, before we get out of here, as we're taping this, third quarter about to come to an end, or if it hasn't already, between Minnesota and Denver in Minnesota, and Denver's going to be up double digits going into the fourth quarter with a chance to tie the series at 2-2. The other series out west, Dallas up 2-1 over Oklahoma City. In the east, besides the Cavaliers, right, and the Celtics, Cavs down 2-1. The Pacers even things up with the walking wounded, the mass unit that is the New York Knickerbockers at 2-2. From what you've seen, Reg, so far, just your thoughts on if anything's changed since the last time we talked about who might be moving forward as we look towards the NBA Finals this year.
Well, you know, without OG Anunoby, it's not looking real good for the New York Knicks, even though the series is tied at 2. And with him, you know, in the first two games at Madison Square Garden, he was terrific, and the Knicks were terrific and won both of them. He gets the late in game 4, he got the hamstring pull.
Right.
And or was it game? No, it was game.
Game 2.
Game 2, correct.
Yeah.
So late in that, Knicks did go on to win that, but now haven't been able to. Although, I mean, the one game 3 was, you know, I thought Indiana would come out and the Knicks wound up losing by 5, but really put it on Indiana, even at Indiana's home, and forced them to really go get it to get that first win of the series. But it's tough. Kenny, if Anunoby can come back and play, I like the Knicks. If he can't, I think Indiana will win the series.
Yeah, Indiana was up 40-some points today as I watched and turned it off. They blew him out. Who's the little guy? The point guard coming off the bench. TJ, somebody for the Pacers?
TJ McConnell.
Yeah, TJ McConnell. That dude, he reminds me of a more skilled offensive Matthew Dellavedova, right? That energy bunny, that guy that's going to be a pest, and he's getting up in the grill of whoever he is guarding, right? Causing havoc and really providing a spark for them. And Siakam's playing better. Halliburton's playing better. And the guy I wanted the Cavaliers to draft a couple of years ago. And I don't know if you agree with me, going back to that draft, Reg, but if I'm going to draft somebody, right, I understand you want immediate production maybe out of a lottery pick, right? You expect maybe a guy to step in right away and be an immediate impact. But Obi Toppin's athletic ability and the position that he played, right, I thought that was worth taking a chance on. Now, he's on his second team since being drafted, but he's found his role with this Pacers team, and he would be ideal for the Cavs wing position that is just a travesty right now. For the weakest part of their starting five. So,
right.
Indiana 121-89 winner today. You're right. If OG can't go, I'm with you. Brunson's banged up with the foot injury. I think Indiana wins, but if OG can't go, then I think it's a toss up in game seven between those two teams. Dallas, Kyrie and Luka with a bad foot or knee or whatever it is, they're up 2-1. We'll see if the experience there overtakes the inexperience of OKC. The other matchup in, the West, if Minnesota comes back and wins tonight, they win the series. If Denver holds on and wins tonight, as we're taping this in game four, Denver wins the series.
Would tie it up at 2 apiece if Denver gets this win. But no, I agree with you. I think, man, I'll tell you, Minnesota's a very good basketball team, but it surprised me a little bit that they went into Denver and won them both. And now, Kenny, they're in game four here back home. They're in danger. Yeah, how about that? An NBA playoff game like this in a second round could very well have a 2-2 series with all four road teams being victorious in this Denver miniseries.
Yeah. Well, supposedly, your guy Mikey Malone.
Malone. Yeah.
After the game two loss, I heard this on national radio today. Mikey went and had somebody pull all the clips of the national media burying the Denver Nuggets. And put together a compilation of Screamin' A. Smith and whoever else that just said, that's it, the Nuggets are done, stick a fork in them, their season is over, they're not the defending champs, and then you get the $100,000 fine with Jamal Murray for throwing the heat pack, and hey, they responded in game three, they're up 12 with 11 minutes to go here in game four, and Reg, I'm pulling for them. Because as soon as they went down 0-2, I saw them drop from the second favorite in the betting odds to the fifth favorite in the betting odds to win it all. And I decided, you know what? The heart of a champ. I go back to what Rudy Tomjanovich said. Until we are not alive in the playoffs, don't underestimate the heart of a champion.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
So Rudy I went back to Rudy T and I said, all right, I'll take those plus 1600 odds and throw $5 or $10 down on the Nuggets to win it all. So let's see if they can hold on tonight and even this series and get back to home court advantage in the Mile High City, where the altitude maybe starts to play a factor on those young Timber puppies.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Yeah, you lose two basketball games, right. They do have the heart of a champion. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they come back and won this series. And Kenny got to the NBA Finals once again. I think they're that good, that talented. And, so we'll see. We'll see if they're capable of it. And we'll also see if the Cavaliers can get this series even tomorrow night.
Keep our fingers crossed with the Cavaliers. Because as we found out last year, Michael Reguy, and we'll close on this, if you can get it to a seventh game, anything can happen. And the Miami Heat benefited from that last year when Jason Tatum, turned the ankle, right?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And Miami took advantage of it and ended up in the NBA Finals. Now, I know Mobley turned his ankle, but I guess he's all right and he'll be good to go he'll at least play, here in game four. Mitchell, that's the big question mark. But play as many games as you can because you never know what can happen.
100%. 100%. And I would love to see the Cavaliers, you know, get it to 7, but they're going to have to get it to 6 first, meaning they're going to have to win another basketball game here. And we'll, again, Kenny, we'll hope that's on Monday night to even this series.
All right, sounds good, Reg. We'll get another edition of the Reg Iron Rota podcast in next weekend. We'll see if the Cavs are still playing. We'll dive into some Guardians talk and whatever else is pulsating throughout the national sports scene or local sports scene. Always a pleasure to hook up with you, Reg. Shout out to our producer, Ty Quartz. Great job, as always, Ty, for making all this possible.